the New Testament, there's a letter there with the name James, written by James. And in chapter 1, verse 2, in that letter it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Let's pray together. Lord, as we come to this text and this concept today of trial, and wanting to honor you through those, and the way that we live through those, God, help us to get a grasp and understanding of how you walk with us. And Lord, that we'll be real honest with the text before us, and that Jesus, again, you'll be glorified, but our hearts will be stirred and encouraged as we keep our eyes upon you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that verse is kind of a tough one when it says, consider it pure joy. You know, when you're going through a tough time, when you're going through a trial, that you count that as joy. You know, that's hard. That's hard to do. So we're going to look at three guys today in the book of Daniel, as we're in book of Daniel. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. If not, we'll have the scripture up on the screen for you. But in Daniel chapter 3 is where we're going to hang out today. Okay, in chapter 3. Verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So King Nebuchadnezzar gets this idea. He wants to set this gold statue up, okay? It's overlaid with gold. It's 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Now, there has actually been a kind of a square that was found in this area by an archaeologist that's 20 feet high and it's 40 feet by 40 feet. And some of them think that that was the stand that this statue was on. So it would actually be 70 feet of statue and the 20 feet of this. However, it was, it's, 90, it's huge, okay? I mean, you can see it from a long way off. He sets this up. Now, it may be a false god that he puts up here, or it may be his own image that he had stood there. Not sure which it is, but he builds this, okay? Starting verse 2. He then summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps and prefects and governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before it. Now, use your mind here a little bit, if you will, and just kind of picture what that would have looked like. You're in a big plain, an open area. You've got this huge statue of gold, and all these people come, and they're all dressed to the nines. I mean, they are dressed in their very best. And then they're coming before the king. And we're really spiffed up, you know. We're really looking the part. And they're all coming, and they're all going to meet, you know, with the king. So everybody's dressed fine, and they're coming. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you're commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." So it's a party. You're all there, and there's going to be all this band is going to, you know, orchestra. All this music is going to come up. And so everybody's dressed in the finest. We're all there. It's kind of this atmosphere. There's going to be great music, and we're all going to be talking, kind of like you guys do when we do that little hand of fellowship thing. And when you hear the music, you're kind of supposed to kind of start listening, you know, and it takes a few moments sometimes. Well, that's it. When you guys hear all this music, everybody's going to quiet down, and everybody's going to fall down and bow before this image. Verse 6 says, "Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Okay. Nebuchadnezzar is serious about this. You don't just come, you're going to be bowing down to it. And here's the reason. Because it's a test of loyalty. I want you to prove your loyalty to me and my reign. That's what Nebuchadnezzar is saying. So it's a test of loyalty from all over, that you are loyal to me and to my reign, to my leadership, to my cabinet, to my people, to who I am. So it's really important. So you better do what I tell you. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now, so they hear the music, everybody bows down, because it's not a big deal for them. You know, it's okay, just add another god onto it. That's no problem. You know, we worship this god and this god and this god and this god. You know, one more god is no big deal. So they bow down. I remember that was one of the biggest things when I was in India and speaking at churches and out in some areas. And before we went, everybody we talked to that kind of prepped us for our mission trip said, make sure you talk about Jesus as the true and living God, the one true living God. Because they don't mind adding Jesus to the list of other gods they follow. Same thing here. Just tack him on. So they don't mind. They just bow down. Doesn't matter to them. Verse 8. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Well, you know that when you hear something like that, you all know something's coming after it, don't you? You know, oh, you're the most wonderful person. You're terrific. And then, so be aware. All right. May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. In other words, king, I just want to remind you of what you said, right? This is what you say. This is right, king. This is what you have told us. But, verse 12, there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image you have set up. Now, they did pay attention to the king. That's not true. When he says they pay no attention, they did pay attention. They just didn't bow down. Right? They paid attention. And can't you see this? Those other guys are so excited when they see him standing up. You know, because they were jealous of him. They didn't like them coming in here and taking over all the power they had in Babylon. So when they saw those three, man, you know, that this is our time. Man, we're going to seize this moment. That's what they're going to do. Now, here's the deal. If you're filling out your little fill-ins there in your bulletin, fill this one out. God-honoring decisions will often set us apart from the crowd. God-honoring decisions will often set us apart from the crowd. I just imagine everybody, I see flags flying, you know, the pennants and all the beautiful colors. Everybody's dressed in all these robes and the hats and, you know, all this great stuff's going on. It's a sunny day in my imagination. And there's this big golden statue, you know, and the band strikes up and all these musical instruments playing, you know, and everybody bows down except these three guys. And they're just standing there. That's pretty obvious because everybody's down to the ground. They're just standing there. When Marsh and I were with Lynn Kennedy in Africa, in Burkina Faso, and we went through the square, and it was time where the Muslims would, the call was to prayer. And we were out on the street, and everybody just bows down. You look around, there's not many of us standing. And that day, nobody was standing except these guys. So it really was obvious what happens. So they were really set apart from the crowd. But you know what? There are times in your life. Maybe it was way back in high school or in college. Maybe it's in the marketplace, in your business, in your neighborhood, that you're called to stand apart from the crowd. You see? And you may have to say, I can't go there. Sorry, I can't go there. And it may cost you when you say that. You really might. But there might be a time when you just simply have to stand when everybody else is bowing. I can't go there. You know what, guys? I can't do that. Sorry, I can't go along with that. You know, I can't sign my name to that. Sorry. I can't act that way. I can't think that way. Guys, I'm sorry, I can't go along with that. Everybody else is, but there's times when you have to stand. And you know what? It's tough being a minority of one. But sometimes we got to make that choice. And it may cost you. But sometimes we have to do that. That's what these guys do. Well, verse 13 says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of God I've set up? Calls the boys in. Hey, guys, is this really true? Is this what they're telling me? Is this accurate? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? You know what he's doing? He's saying, guys, let me tell you, I'm going to give you a second chance. You know, maybe it wasn't clear to you. Maybe there's a language barrier, whatever. I'm going to give you a second chance. But if you don't do it, let me tell you what, there is no God that's going to be able to rescue from this. Because that's what's going to happen to you. But you got a second chance. So when you hear the music, just bow down, guys, okay? That's what I'm asking. I want that sense of loyalty to me. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Nebuchadnezzar, you see, if God wants, he can deliver us. And this is what I think really made Nebuchadnezzar mad, more upset. Because you see, Nebuchadnezzar, we're in God's hands, not yours. Doesn't matter what you say, because we're in God's hands. Now, isn't that a good thing to know, folks? You know, we could just rest on that, couldn't we? That no matter what, you're in God's hands if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a believer. Doesn't matter what the world can say or do or anybody else around you, you are in God's hands. And he said, so I'm in God's hands, Neb. Maybe they called him that. I don't think so, though. King Nebuchadnezzar. Not in your hands. We're in God's hands. The reason they could say that was it was an extension from what we talked about several weeks ago, that they had made a decision to honor God above all else. Doesn't matter about how I'm feeling, the pleasure, this, that, or the other. Doesn't matter about how I got my feelings. Doesn't matter about anything. I am going to honor God above anything else. But everything else. And this is an extension of that. So it plays out. They hear the music, not going to bow down. It doesn't matter, Nebuchadnezzar, because we're in God's hands. Now, you need to kind of get a hold of that. That sometimes it costs you, but it's okay because you're in God's hands when you make that decision. To stand up and say, I can't do that. I can't go that way. Even if everybody else is going that way. Can't do it because it doesn't honor God. Well, it goes on with this conversation, verse 18. But even if he does not, remember they said that he was able to deliver us? But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Because he's still God no matter what. Now, think about this for a minute. These three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are probably 20 years old. Can you imagine that? 20 years old, standing before the king of the known world practically that day. I mean, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar had conquered tremendous amounts. And they stand up to the king at 20 years old. Say, king, I can't do it because I got to serve God first. Wow. And king, point number two, God is still God, whatever the outcome. He can save us from this, but he doesn't have to save us from it. And it doesn't really matter because he's still God. Philippians, Paul writes to the church of Philippi. We went through this last year. Chapter 1, verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, catch this now, whether by life or by death. Paul says, you know what, guys? It doesn't matter. Either way, God's going to be glorified. Whether I'm living for me to live as Christ, we just sang this, the text, to live for Christ, to die as gain. He says, it doesn't matter. God is God. You see, their focal point, and this is really, I think, a key here. Their focal point wasn't on deliverance. It was honoring God. It wasn't getting out of trouble. It wasn't getting out of jail card. It was on honoring God above all else. It doesn't matter if I'm delivered or not. It doesn't matter if I'm healed or not. It doesn't matter if I'm out of this situation or not. It doesn't matter if I get this financial or not. God, I'm honoring you above all. But see, we usually cry out, oh, God, get me out of this. Get me out of this mess. Deliver me from this mess. God, get me out of this. Not these three. I got a whole different perspective. Because if we focus only on deliverance, and then we're not delivered from that situation, we lose our joy. Because it's all hooked to us getting better, getting out of it, whatever it is. You see, not them. When you and I stop and we start to see that God is in control, that God is sovereign, then we can have joy in the midst of whatever it is we're fighting through, because I understand that God is going to work that for my good and for His glory. So my perspective changes. I might not get out of this. I might not, but it's okay, because I'm in God's hands, you see. God's still going to do it. So the question I want you to ask yourself this morning, where's your focal point at? What are you focusing on? On your deliverance as maybe you define it, or on what God says that He defines as good? We sang about that too. Gives, takes away, the whole thing there. You know? How do we see that? Well, verse 19, back to the story. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. See, before, going to give him a second chance, kind of a thing, right? He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. Now, isn't that interesting? It's like, you know, I got to get this thing really hot to burn them. You know, I mean, it's already fire. It's going to burn them up. Let's make it 7 times hotter. 7 being completion, as hot as this baby can cook. Okay. And commands some of the strongest soldiers in the army. He doesn't want these, you know, none of you little guys, big guys, you know, we're going to tie them so tight, you know, kind of redundant here to me, or overkill. Tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the burning, blazing fire, furnace. So these men, here's their outfits, remember, wearing their robes, their trousers, their turbans, and other clothes, they were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, that's why I'm glad I'm not a big guy. I wouldn't have had to tie them up, you know. But these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Pause there for just a moment. These guys are willing to die. They just said that. King, if God saves us, fine. If He doesn't save us, fine. God's still God, and that's okay. They're willing to die. But the actual experience of being tied up, being taken up, and thrown into that furnace would have been horrible, wouldn't it? Because at that point, I think they're thinking, I don't think God is going to deliver us from this one. And it's okay, we're going to die for Him, but I don't think it's going to happen. Because it didn't happen back then, it didn't happen, it's not happening now, it's not happening as I'm walking up the stairs, it's not happening, and they throw them into the furnace. And I can imagine those guys, it wasn't just peace and, oh, that's fine, no, I bet their heart was just beating. Because they're people, see? But they're willing to do it. They're willing to go the mile. They were ready to do it, and that's what they were doing. So, big guys, throw them in, big guys get burned up, kills them. But if they hadn't they walked up far enough to throw them in, the king would have killed them anyway. So those guys were kind of in a no-win. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? And they replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Number three, fill this one in. God promises to be with us through trials. That's what he promises. He never promises us life without difficulty. Guys, get that. You hear a lot of stuff on television. Oh, if you just loved Jesus enough, if you were just filled with the Spirit enough, if you just had enough faith, you wouldn't have any difficulties, you wouldn't have any trials. That's not true. Jesus never promised a life without difficulties. You will have trials. Let me just tell you that up front if you didn't already know it. I think you already know this, but you will. Peter says it in 1 Peter 4:12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering. As though something strange were happening to you. Hey, you're going to have them. That's not weird. That's life. You're going to have trials. But God does promise to be with us. And in this instance, he literally was in the furnace with him, wasn't he? You know, that's what happens here. So many people, in the midst of the trials, stop walking with God. They get overwhelmed, the trials are tough, they stop, and they get further and further and further away from the source of help. They start moving further and further away from God. Because, oh, I'm in this trouble, and God certainly didn't do this, and it helped me, and they just drift further and further away. When they ought to be doing just the exact opposite. Hebrews chapter 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us when? In our time of need. Man, when you're in need, that's when you run to the Lord. When you're in the midst of that trial, that's when you hang on to the Lord. It's not when you run away. Well, verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Isn't that wild? You know, if you get around, man, if I'm not careful and I'm lighting a charcoal grill, you know, there go my eyebrows and my hands, you know, all the hair burns off, singed off. If you're ever around a campfire and you walk around someplace else, you smell like smoke, you just, you know, you don't have to be that close. And you say, these guys are in this furnace. Not a single hair singed. Didn't smell like smoke. Why? Because God protected him. This is important, get this, in the midst of the trial. This was no small fire, folks. This was a big trial. This is a big furnace, awfully hot. And God protected them in the midst of that. And I think that was a greater deliverance than if he had done it before. Now, have you ever thought about, what do you think they talked about when they were in the furnace? I don't know. It doesn't say they talk, does it? But, you know, all of a sudden they're in there, and there's three of them. Now there's four of them, and many people think that's the pre-incarnate Jesus, that was the Christ, the second person of the Trinity. At least that we know it's the angel of the Lord, an angel, but probably was Jesus here, then it's pre-incarnate. You know, what did they say? You know, did they say, this is crazy. We're not getting burned. Look at them out there looking at us. You know, I mean, I don't know what they were thinking. Or maybe Jesus spoke to them and said, guys, I got this. This is pretty cool, isn't it, guys? You know, I don't know. But they're in there for a few minutes. It wasn't just in and out. It was in there. They're walking around. You know? But through that trial, can you imagine when they come out how their faith was? Now, it would have been cool if, you know, if Nebuchadnezzar said, no, I'm changing my mind. These three don't have to. And they were delivered and they would have thanked God. But how much greater was the deliverance through the trial? For them, you know, that's wow. I don't know. Maybe you can think up what they talked about. I don't know. But then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and he defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. We heard him say that before, remember, a couple chapters ago. For no other God can save in this way. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, it's pretty significant when he makes this statement because there are people there who are literally from all over the empire. They spoke different languages. I mean, everybody was there. And the king makes this declaration. Isn't that something? See, that kind of happens to number four, fourth point. God can use our trials to help others. God can. You know what the talk in Babylon was? It was not, did you see how big that statue was? Did you see how much gold he must have used on that thing? That wasn't the discussion. The discussion was, did you see those three guys? Defied the king, went in the furnace, and didn't even burn him up. That was the talk. What kind of God must they serve who protected them like that? It wasn't about this false god, this statue. It was about these three guys and what happened there and what kind of God they served. You see, when others see us with strength and joy and courage in the midst of trials and hardships, people look and they say, what kind of God do they serve? They're not bitter. They're not angry. How is that? How is it that they got treated poorly at work or whatever happened to them and they're still okay? You know, how is it that their God walks with them? He's not a God that sits on a mantle. He's a real God to them. And you see how that works? The world takes notice of that. And God wants to use us like that. He wants us to be able to show who he is and what he does as we walk with him. Now, it says in our text three times that they were tied up. And then you get to verse 25 and it talks about, I see four men walking around the fire unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. Four men. But the point here I want to make is they were unbound, right? The only thing that burned off of them were these ropes that these strong men tied so tightly and bound them so tightly with. That's the only thing that was burned off. Number five. God uses trials to set us free and to grow us. See, through the trial, what burned off was what bound them. Often when you and I go through trials, God frees us from things that bind us. Pet sins, whatever it is. Man, and he burns them off. And he sets us free. Leon Wood wrote a book on Daniel. And let me just read this excerpt. When the three had stood before Nebuchadnezzar's image, with the announcement requiring them to bow, ringing in their ears, that it seemed that they might lose all. But God had worked matters out so that they were actually receiving much more. How good their God was, and how wonderful that they had chosen to obey him, no matter how great the cost. My prayer is today that you and I would choose to obey him, no matter what the cost, no matter how great the cost, that you choose to worship him. And you know what? He knows what you really need delivered from. Amen. I don't, but he does. Amen. And he's the one that can set you free. So in the midst of those trials, James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because it's through those God grows us. And we learn to love him more than we ever have before. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the faith and the choice of these three guys. Young men, 20 years old or so. who said, it doesn't matter, I'll risk it all. It doesn't really matter. I'm going to serve God above everything else. And then God, what you did in their lives, what a work you did. Now, Father, there's some here this morning, I know, the size of an auditorium, that are going through some pretty tough trials. And I pray that these just aren't hollow words that are spoken today, but to speak truth into their life, Lord. That we are in your hands, and we can trust you. And no matter what, God, you are God who loves us. And you're going to work this out for your good, the way you see it, not the way we see it. So, Lord, we just want to be like these three guys and be obedient, no matter what the cost. And sometimes it means standing out in the crowd, not going a certain way. But it's also the assurance that no matter what, Lord, you're going to walk through this time with us. It doesn't matter how dark that valley is, God, you've promised that. And so we cling to that this morning. I pray if there's someone here today who's never received Jesus as their Savior, and they might know all about you, Lord, but they've never put their faith and trust in you alone. They've tried so hard to do it on their own and just can't make it. Lord, today they would surrender their heart to you and trust you. Lord, others, in the midst of difficult times, may we not run away from you, but may we run to you in times of need for your grace and your mercy, your strength, your courage, your peace, your joy. I pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.